Good morning. On today's programme, we hear why French authorities are warning tourists about smoking in public places, and strange weather patterns puzzle wildlife in Tanzania's Serengeti. But first, we start in the Mediterranean. Italy has one of the oldest populations in the world, but as the workforce continues to age, more young people are fleeing the country than ever before. More than a million Italians have left the country in the past 10 years. Around 350,000 of those were aged from 25 to 34, and many did not return. Italy's government and business leaders are worried about what this means for the future. Josephine McKenna reports.
It's graduation time in Italy, a cause for celebration where you often see beaming graduates wearing their laurel wreaths and their robes on the streets, or confetti being tossed in the air by their relatives in their honour. But after a lavish family feast and the inevitable Prosecco toast to an optimistic future, these young graduates face a difficult choice: whether to seek a scarce, low-paid job in Italy or emigrate in search of better opportunities abroad. More than a million Italians have left the country in the past 10 years. Around 350,000 of them were aged between 25 and 34, and many didn't return. Now the head of Italy's central bank, Fabio Panetta, has sounded the alarm, saying the exodus of educated Italians is worsening the economic strain of a rapidly ageing labour force. Between 2022 and 2023, almost 100,000 young Italians left their home country, while only 37,000 of them returned. Last year, 191,000 people left, the highest in a quarter of a century, as many sought jobs in Germany, Spain, the UK and elsewhere. Mr. Panetta says urgent action is needed to retain Italy's precious human capital and ensure there's enough employment to support long-term growth. Attractive employment opportunities need to be created for the many Italians who leave the country in search of better prospects, says Mr. Panetta. Italy's population decline is among the most dramatic in the world. Much has been said about the Mediterranean diet and its positive contribution to prolonging a healthy life. There are quaint stories about the number of Italians living to an age well beyond 100. But when an ageing population is combined with a plummeting birth rate and the departure of promising young graduates, the demographic outlook is far from positive. About a quarter of Italians are currently over the age of 65, while just 12% of the population are children aged 14 or under. The working age population is forecast to drop by another 5 million before 2040. And any fall in tax revenues from a diminishing number of workers is bound to put greater pressure on healthcare, education and other social services as people live longer in retirement. That makes it even more urgent to retain the best and the brightest. Italy is one of the few European countries without a minimum wage, and it's seen a rise in people living below the poverty line. Research scientists, teachers and other professionals often complain their incomes fail to keep up with inflation and find themselves living with their parents well into their 30s because they can't afford to live independently. Mr. Panetta said one factor driving people overseas was that real wages in Italy were currently below the levels that they were in the year 2000. A decade ago, only one in three Italian emigrants was university educated, while in 2023, half of those who left Italy had a college degree, according to official figures. It might be hard for Italian employers to compete with foreign recruitment agencies like Workwide, which offers opportunities for Italians to work elsewhere in Europe. Other countries like Canada and Australia are also looking for people to fill job shortages. There's no denying the exodus of the young graduates has serious implications. The Bank of Italy has estimated that the projected drop in Italy's working age population could lead to an 11% fall in GDP. And a business forum called the Northeast Foundation estimates Italy's brain drain has already cost the country an estimated 134 billion euros between 2011 and 2023. Of those Italians who do return, many say they want to be closer to their families. Few talk about the lure of a promising career path or business incentives to build a stable and productive future. But there is a growing recognition that something needs to be done. The Meloni government is now offering incentives to draw educated young people back home, while the southern region of Basilicata has introduced a financial bonus for local companies that give jobs to unemployed graduates. While the Dolce Vita has lost none of its charm for the millions of foreign tourists pouring into Italy every year, for too many young Italians, it sadly remains out of reach. This is Josephine McKenna for World Report in Rome.
Next, we go to France, where visitors are being warned they could be fined if caught lighting up in public places, including parks and beaches this summer, as authorities clamp down on efforts to stub out smoking. The new policy, which comes into effect on the 1st of July, is also aimed at reducing pollution, as Sharon Gaffney reports.
A poison that kills, coughs and pollutes, a toxic combination, prompting the French health minister to get tough on tobacco as part of ambitious government plans to produce the country's first smoke-free generation by 2032. From the 1st of July, smoking will be banned in all outdoor spaces that can be accessed by children, including beaches, parks and bus stops. Anyone caught lighting up will be asked to pay a €135 fine. Café terraces, long considered a national institution, will be exempt from the ban, as will electronic cigarettes. But the government says it's working on proposals to place limits on the amount of nicotine these products contain. After glamorising tobacco for decades, particularly on the silver screen, France has been rolling out a series of initiatives aimed at encouraging smokers to kick the habit. Since 2008, cigarettes have been prohibited in enclosed public places like bars, restaurants and workplaces. Regional officials have gone even further, with more than 1,500 towns, cities and villages having already imposed their own bans on smoking in outdoor spaces. The awareness campaigns do appear to be paying off, with smoking rates at a historic low, but 75,000 people still die from tobacco-related complications in France each year, making smoking the largest avoidable killer. While fewer of them are taking up the habit, French people still light up more regularly than their European neighbours. Sales of tobacco products fell by more than a tenth last year as ever steeper duties are levied on cigarettes. Taxes imposed are the third highest in the EU, behind Ireland and the Netherlands. But those price hikes are also pushing people towards an already thriving black market. Nearly a third of all cigarettes sold here are counterfeit, equating to almost half the estimated 35 billion such products smoked across Europe each year. The government says its latest efforts to stub out cigarettes are also aimed at reducing passive smoking and pollution. Rather than being disposed of correctly, an estimated 60% of cigarettes smoked outdoors end up being tossed away. In addition to clogging up streets and beaches, cigarette butts release thousands of toxic chemical substances. Classified as hazardous waste, experts say it can take more than a decade for a single cigarette to degrade before its filter eventually breaks down into tiny fragments of microplastics that are often ultimately washed into the sea, leaching chemicals along the way. Apart from the health risks and environmental toll, cigarettes also drain the public finances. 10 million euro is spent each year on clean-up operations on the streets of the capital alone, prompting officials at Paris City Hall to hand out 400,000 portable or pocket ashtrays to encourage smokers to act more responsibly, as part of a new so-called nudge campaign launched last month. They say 2 billion cigarette butts are collected from the streets of Paris annually, or a staggering 4 to 5 million each day. For World Report in Paris, this is Sharon Gaffney.
Next, Tanzania, where unpredictable weather patterns are confusing the more than 2 million animals in the Serengeti National Park. With rainfall above average during what's supposed to be a dry season, thousands of wildebeest are beginning their migration to Kenya much earlier than normal. On a more positive note, the Serengeti has become a leader on the African continent in the use of artificial intelligence to tackle poaching of big game. Isabel Conway has this report.
A rumble of distant thunder echoes over the African plains as our four-wheel drive jeep ducks and dips down into deep, squelchy mud. The thunderous noise comes ever closer, and in no time it's upon us. Curious and fearless, the animals encircle our safari vehicle. Tens of thousands of them emitting a strange amplified grunting noise. Males jousting together for supremacy, mothers suckling their young. We watch a sea of dark brown bearded, slope-backed wildebeest and hundreds of zebra who graze and wander into the horizon. One of nature's most remarkable phenomena, visible from space. They move in their millions like an ever-rumbling thundercloud on plains that seem to stretch to the ends of the world. The Great Migration has started in Tanzania's Serengeti National Park, but long before it should this year. Regular as clockwork for aeons, millions of wildebeest, zebras and other herbivores set out on their mid to late summer hazardous circular journey northwards to Kenya in search of fresh grazing lands. It's an amazing stroke of luck. Only a handful of safari visitors here now, bearing witness during the late spring low season to this spectacular happening. Climate change is increasingly felt in one of the most famous and wildlife-rich areas of the world, impacting the Serengeti ecosystem, according to scientific research. Unpredictable weather patterns, including extreme rainfall during the dry season last year, has upset the animals' instinctive migration movements across the Serengeti National Park, an area as big as Northern Ireland. We watch the wildebeest weave in all directions instead of forming a gigantic column to intimidate predators and protect the most vulnerable in the herds, whilst preparing to head north. Wildebeest and zebra make for good travel companions, our guide says. There's no competition for grazing. Zebra have excellent sight, whilst the wildebeest can hear and smell better. And they look out for one another. Ever watchful, the lions and hyenas lie camouflaged nearby in the long grass, awaiting their opportunity to pick off the old, the wounded and babies among the estimated 500,000 wildebeest already on the move. We see the vultures perched on scrubby trees, ready to scavenge the leftovers of the carcasses. It's a circle of life and death that plays out here. Our guide, Samuel Shambo, notices how the animals have reacted to unpredictable weather patterns of late. We're having rain in the normal dry season. The weather is twisting around and the animals are confused, he says. They don't know which way to go. December is still dry season with only an odd shower, but last year's sustained heavy rainfall in December affected migration and feeding patterns, he explains. We're getting rains during times we never expected before, and that's changed the pattern of the Great Migration. Tourists from all over the world come on set dates and seasons to observe this awe-inspiring spectacle. Now, wildlife conservationists and Serengeti guides worry about a future when perhaps visitors can no longer witness the Great Migration like in the past, due to shifting rainfall patterns and climate change that's altering migration timing and routes, and also impacts the availability of food and water for the animals. Studies are showing rapidly warming temperatures too, due to global warming, with an adverse effect on biodiversity. On a positive note, the Serengeti, which used to suffer enormous levels of poaching, primarily of elephants, lions and rhinos, has become a leader on the African continent, pouring financial and other resources into combating the poachers. Increased intelligence gathering using AI and drones gathers vital information, pinpointing areas of weakness on the edge of national parks where poachers avoid patrols. Anti-poaching legislation has been stepped up and the government's rangers' budget significantly improved. New technology, the drones that scope the park, and AI is a real game changer, explains Ramsey Sungwa, general manager of Eliwana Pioneer Camp. 10 years ago, poaching was our biggest problem, he recalls. You could do a game drive and not see a single elephant. Today, there's a huge population of them. One day recently, I counted a few hundred elephants around the camp. We have more lions in the Serengeti than anywhere else in the world, and our Black Rhino Conservation Project is a big success. For World Report in the Serengeti, Tanzania, I'm Isabella Conway.
Well, that's it from World Report for today. The programme was edited by Margaret Curley. If you want to listen back, you can go to rte.ie/World Report or on all our podcast platforms. We'll be back again at the same time next week. Until then, thanks for listening and take care.